WSHU, the station you know, trust, and count on, is more relevant than ever. I'm Brad Dancer, the general manager here at WSHU. Your support makes it possible for us to deliver what you need, exactly when you need it, wherever you are. With your help, we tell the stories that matter, connecting the facts and uncovering the truths that keep you informed. Thank you for listening and supporting WSHU Public Radio. We're expanding our world together.
This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Governor Lamont officially kicks off his re-election campaign today. Bruce Blakeman looks to gauge support for a run for governor of New York. Connecticut Service Plaza workers can now unionize under a new settlement. Plus, a look back at a Connecticut murder case that gained national attention. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Well, it's official. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont is running for a third term. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports he kicked off his campaign with a statewide tour today.
In his campaign launch video, Lamont pitches himself as an experienced leader focused on education, fiscal responsibility, and health care. He also positions himself as a foil to the president.
Fight for Connecticut values every day. He excludes some people. Some people don't feel like they belong in Trump America. They belong in Connecticut.
71-year-old Lamont is the first governor to run for a third term since John Rowland. His running mate, Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisewitz, will stay on for a third campaign. He faces a primary challenge from the more liberal state representative Josh Elliott. The top Republican challengers are State Senator Ryan Fazio and former New Britain Mayor Aaron Stewart. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman just won re-election last week, but now he's got his eye on a new job. The New York Public News Network's John Campbell reports.
The Republican has been traveling the state, meeting with party officials as he gauges whether he has support to run for governor next year. Blakeman says he's the best candidate to take on Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul. But during a stop at the state capitol, he said he'll ultimately respect his party's wishes.
If people think that I'm the best candidate, and that I would make the best governor, they'll make their voices heard in the party. And if they think it's Elise, then I'll support Elise 100%.
He's referring to Representative Elise Stefanik, a Republican from the North Country who launched her own campaign for governor last week. Blakeman says he'll decide whether to enter the race in the next 2 to 3 weeks. In Albany, I'm John Campbell for the New York Public News Network.
Hundreds of workers at the service plazas on Connecticut highways will now have a chance to unionize under a settlement announced yesterday by Governor Lamont. WSHU's Davis Donovan has more.
The deal includes workers at nearly two dozen travel plazas on I-95, I-395, and Route 15, better known as the Merritt or the Wilbur Cross Parkway. They're employees of the Irish service station company Applegreen. Applegreen's subcontractor, a company called Project Service, runs the state-owned plazas. Applegreen will pay $1.5 million under the deal to settle claims it's underpaid its workers at the state's travel plazas. That's been a long-standing accusation from the union SEIU Local 32BJ and the subject of a lawsuit the state brought against the company in 2023. Attorney General William Tong says the state won't hesitate to return to court if the company doesn't fairly pay its workers. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
A Sacred Heart University professor is co-host of a new true crime podcast. We'll hear from her on a Connecticut murder case and what the media missed. A conversation on that is coming up.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
Hi, I'm Emily Boyer, music host at WSHU. So many times people have said to me, I'd love to get into classical music, I just don't know where to start. And it can feel overwhelming. Well, I'll guide you to amazing performances by today's outstanding artists and tell you a bit about the music along the way. Discover music you'll love starting at 9 on 91.1 FM, 107.5 FM, and streaming online at WSHU.org.
New Haven school officials say more kids are coming to class. Chronic absenteeism has dropped 60% since 2022. They credit mentoring and supports to get kids back in the classroom. Town leaders say they're proud of the progress, but want to bring the rate below 20% in the next 4 years. The Middletown, Connecticut Board of Education has called a meeting after reports surfaced that the district's superintendent was charged with a DUI in Florida over the summer. Board members say they plan to meet before deciding how to move forward. Smithtown has approved a 2026 budget that raises taxes by about 9%. Officials say they need to avoid cutting services and jobs. The increase means the average homeowner will pay about $160 more next year. A plan to build a large cannabis farm in Calverton is getting pushback from neighbors worried about strong odors drifting into their homes. The developer Brother Bear Canna says their planned greenhouse will be fully sealed with filters to control smells, but town officials say they need more details. Several years ago, there was a story that we covered here on WSHU, which was picked up by the national media. A woman was charged with killing her 84-year-old husband, hiding the body in their basement, and cashing his paychecks from UConn. The university contacted police for a wellness check after a colleague reported she hadn't seen him in months. WSHU's news director, Terry Sheridan, spoke to the creators of a new podcast who look at the case and the narrative that was created around it.
76-year-old Linda Bagazzi agreed to plead guilty to manslaughter and other charges for the death of Pierre Luigi Bagazzi in exchange for a 13-year sentence. The day before her sentencing, she took her own life. Dr. Casey Jordan is the host of the Criminal Appeal podcast. She is a criminologist and attorney and has provided insight and analysis to CNN, Headline News, and Court TV, among others. A co-host is Sacred Heart University Associate Professor of Sociology, Dr. Colleen Butler-Sweet. Casey, you worked with Linda Bagazzi's defense team, spent several hours interviewing her, and feel the narrative surrounding the case, that the sensational details, don't paint a fair picture of Linda.
I agree with that. The bottom line is that the public has always been fascinated by this UConn professor, this preeminent biologist, Dr. Pierre Luigi, we also known as Peter Bagazzi, being killed by his wife and the body stored in the basement. And the real story, the subtext, was how and why Peter and his wife Linda ended up on the kitchen floor on a fateful day in the summer of 2017, grappling for a hammer, a fight that would end in Peter losing his life and eventually Linda losing hers as well. Her narrative would be considered suspicious only because she failed to call the police after the death of Peter. And the reason she didn't call the police when he died is really what I wanted to focus on when I first met her. It was really key to understanding her psychology, not just as the wife of the victim, but as I would soon discover in a six-hour conversation with her, the life of a battered spouse.
This goes back decades. This is just not something that happened recently in their lives.
What our podcast will unveil is the fact that, you know, he was a married professor teaching in Buffalo. She was his graduate student in the PhD program. And Linda will go into detail about what we very often refer to, certainly in the 70s, and I experienced it in the 80s, as attacks in the stacks, where professors just considered very often their mentees and their graduate students. It was open season. They were predatory on these students because if they sexually assaulted them, no one was going to complain. And Linda started her story by explaining that that was her first experience with Peter, that he was on her dissertation committee for her PhD, and that when she was victimized by him, she knew immediately that she needed to stay silent because speaking up about it would be the end of her academic career. So that began more than 40 years of a relationship between them that was symbiotic in both victimization and acclimation.
And Colleen, when did you get involved in this process of looking at this case?
I think the reason I really wanted to lean into this case early on is to tell Linda's story because it did not go to trial. She took a plea of a lesser charge of manslaughter, first-degree manslaughter. So as a result, there's very little public record. as to why she killed her husband. And because Casey worked the case and we have these 6 hours of interview tapes, I feel like we're sort of the stewards of her story a little bit. And we're able to share this narrative that this was not an elderly black widow that was just cashing checks and threw her husband's body in the basement. This is a story of intimate partner violence. This is a story of psychological abuse.
Now, when you interviewed her, you spent 6 hours approximately talking with her. I mean, that had to be very hard, but also very, I guess, eye-opening to the conditions that she was enduring and living through.
I did this in the very home where the incident happened and where Peter's body had been stored in the basement. And, I mean, it was a bit chilling walking through the front door and seeing the splintered basement door that the police had broken down to get towards the nature of the smell. And sitting with her at her kitchen table and just trying to gain her trust, I was very moved by the fact that she wanted to talk to me.
Again, just to be clear, you went in as someone, as an expert and not a journalist. You went in to listen to her story, to help her, but not to report on her at the time.
Correct. And I want to be very clear that although I'm an attorney, I was not being asked to use any legal skills. My involvement in this was as a criminologist and behavior analyst. The team brought me in then as a consultant. And I want to be very clear, because in the podcast, you're going to hear my recordings, and they're not great. They were just done on my iPhone to help me take my notes, because I was going to have to prepare a memo. And she was talking for 6 hours, and I was scribbling furiously. I recorded with her permission these notes, this conversation, and I forgot about them, because, of course, the case never went to trial.
Colleen, what did you learn from studying, or not studying, looking at the facts, looking at this case?
You know what? I love that you use the term studying, because it really did feel like Casey and I are actually both ethnographic researchers, which means we gather qualitative data. I'm an interviewer. That's the way I gather my data. And it sounded exactly like seeking out research participants in an intimate partner violence study to share their stories, and the illustrations that she was offering that, to Casey's point, you just can't make up. You don't search these things up online and say, hey, that's what I'm going to say to pitch a story that I've been abused. They were so raw. They were so organic. There's this really, really moment that just sticks with me where she's describing the attack itself. And by the attack, I mean when he was attacking her, because that's what happened. He was attacking her. She was scrambling to defend herself with the hammer, also with biting him, anything she could do to get him off of her. And she talks about there's a moment in that struggle where she says to herself, should I just let him do it? Should I just let him kill me? Should I just let it be over? Am I supposed to let him do this? That is such a deeply embedded, internalized intimate partner violence, battered women syndrome symptom.
Dr. Casey Jordan is the host of the Criminal Appeal podcast. She is on the faculty of Western Connecticut State University. Her co-host is Sacred Heart University Associate Professor of Sociology, Dr. Colleen Butler-Sweet. The podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you very much.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or with our free WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. And for even more from this station, join us over on Instagram. We would love to connect with you on there. We're at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a fantastic weekend, and I'll speak to you on Monday.